Shrimati Divine Grace A.C. Bhakti Vedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada Ki Nisthan Founder Acharya Srila Prabhupada Ki Jayam Prabhupada Paramahamsa Parajakacharya Shrimati Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur Srila Prabhupada Ki Ananti Goti Vaishnava Vrinda Ki Namacharya Srila Haridas Thakur Ki Prem Seka Holy Sri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Sri Advaita Gadadhara Srivasari Gaura Bhakta Vrinda Ki Samaveda Bhakta Vrinda Ki. All glories to the assembled devotees. All glories to the assembled devotees. All glories to the assembled devotees. All glories to Sri Guru and Sri Gauranga. All glories to Sri Prabhupada. Jaya Jaya Sri Chaitanya Jaya Nityananda. Jaya Dvaita Chandra Jaya Gaura Bhakta Vrinda. Jaya Jaya Sri Chaitanya Jaya Nityananda. Jaya Dvaita Chandra Jaya Gaura Bhakta Vrinda. Jaya Jaya Sri Chaitanya Jaya Nityananda. Jaya Dvaita Chandra Jaya Gaura Bhakta Vrinda. So today is August 20th, 2016. We're reading from Chaitanya Charitamrita, Chapter 10, Text 66 to 70. Madhya Lila. Chapter 10 is entitled The Lord's Return to Jagannath Puri. So we'll chant the Sanskrit together. Sorry, Vrindavan. Ita suni Krishna dasa kandite lagila. Madhya nakaite maha prabhu chali gela. Hearing the Lord reject him, Pala Krishnadas began to cry. However, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, not caring for him, immediately left to take his noon lunch. Nityananda Jagadananda Mukunda Damodara. Chai Jane Yukti Kabe Kaila Antara. After this, the other devotees, headed by Nityananda Prabhu, Jagadananda, Mukunda, and Damodar, began to consider a certain plan. Purport. Even though a person is rejected by the Supreme Personality of Godhead, the devotees of the Lord do not reject him. Therefore, the Lord's devotees are more merciful than the Lord himself. Srila Narottam Das Thakur thus sings, one cannot be relieved from the material clutches without engaging in the service of pure devotees. The Lord himself may sometimes be very hard, but the devotees are always kind. Thus, Pala Krishnadas received the mercy of the four devotees mentioned above. Yaura deshe patkaite chahi eka jana. You can chant together. Aike kai veyai prabhura agamana. The Lord's four devotees considered, we want a person to go to Bengal just to inform Sachimata about Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's arrival at Jagannath Puri. Together? Advaita Sri Vasari Yata Bhakta Gana Sabe Yasi Vesuni Prabhura Gamana. After hearing news of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's arrival, devotees like Advaita and Srivas will certainly come to see him. So this verse will chant responsibly. E Krishna Dase Diva Gauda Patana. Ita kahi tare rakhi lena as vasya. E Krishna dasa diva gauda patana. Ita kahi tare rakhi lena as vasya. Hey Krishna Dase Diva Gauda Patana. Ita kahi tare rakhi lena as vasya. Let us therefore send Krishnadas to Bengal. Saying this, they kept Krishnadas engaged in the service of the Lord and gave him assurance. Sorry, can you chant? Would you like to chant the verse? Sorry, can you hear me?
Hey Krishna Dasi Diva Gauda Patana. Ita Kai Tare Rakhi Lena As Vasya. Hey Krishna Dasi Diva Gauda Patana.
Hey Krishna Dase Diva Gauda Pan. Ladies.
Hare Krishna Dasi Diva Gauri. Eka Kali Kali Rati Namaskrishna.
Hare Krishna
Dasa Diva Gauri. Eka Kali Kali Rati Namaskrishna.
Word for it,
this,
Krishna Dase, Kala Krishna Das, Diba, away, Gauda, to Bengal, Patana, let us sing, Eka Kahi, sing this, Kari, him, Ra Kilana, they kept, Aswasiya,
Giving assurance.
Translation by Sri Prabhupada. Let us therefore send Krishna Das to Bengals. Saying this, they kept Krishna Das engaged in the service of the Lord and gave him assurance. Purport. Because Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu rejected him, Kala Krishna Das became very, very sorry and began to cry. Therefore, the Lord's devotees took compassion upon him, gave him assurance, and encouraged him to continue to engage in the Lord's service. Let us therefore send Krishna Das to Bengal. Saying this, they kept Krishna Das engaged in the service of the Lord and gave him assurance. So last week we heard how Krishna Das was kind of taken away from the devotees and the association of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu by some nomads and gypsies, and particularly women that were sent to attract him. And this week we see that because of this, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu rejected him. But the Lord's devotees have been merciful upon him. And Srila Prabhupada says that the Lord's devotees are even more merciful than the Lord himself. And I thought about that, and I tried to see how I've experienced that in my own life, because one would think that the Lord is the greatest of everything, and he's also the most merciful. How could anyone be more merciful than Krishna? So it's not that Krishna is not the most merciful, but it's that he watches his devotees give his mercy so that they can get all the credit. And it's also that because we have free will, the Lord won't directly intervene, but he allows his devotees to intervene in our lives so that we can experience the mercy of Krishna. So these gypsies, who are the gypsies in our lives? You know, before I met the devotees, there were many, many gypsies, and there are still gypsies, but those gypsies before I met the devotees were very powerful, and today they have no power at all whatsoever over me. And those gypsies before I met the devotees were these animalistic behaviors, meat eating, intoxication, illicit sex. These are the things that I could not imagine living without. I could not, because it's the culture, and culture is just a way of life. It's very difficult for us to separate ourselves from our culture. And when I met the devotees, I saw that they were living a completely different culture, spiritual culture. And once I started devotional practice, my gypsies have changed some. Now I see my gypsies as intensive chanting. Anything that will internally or externally take me away from meditating on the Lord's holy names during japa. And anything that will take my mind and myself away from doing some devotional service. whatever that might be. And so I'd like for you to think for a moment, who are your gypsies? Who are your, if you're born into the movement, then you may not have, you don't have a similar experience as I do, but maybe you had some gypsies before you met the devotees, and maybe those gypsies have somehow changed over time. But inevitably, most of us will still have some gypsies that are trying to take us away from the direct association of Krishna, of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. So how do we experience the mercy of Krishna through his devotees? How are his devotees more merciful than Krishna himself? When I first met the devotees, thankfully no one came up to me and grabbed me and said, Krishna is the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Believe this or you will burn forever. No one even told me that Krishna is the Supreme Personality of Godhead. I didn't know that for some time. And even after I went to the temple, I saw on the altar that at Krishna house, I couldn't find Krishna on the altar. I saw these other two boys there. And I was wondering for a while, Krishna's God, but we're worshiping these other two boys up here. What really is the meaning of all of this? But what attracted me to Krishna was the association of his devotees. And that they were totally non-judgmental. They seemed self-satisfied. To me, they were the epitome of self-satisfaction. I really felt like I had not met another person like a devotee who was very detached from my reaction to their, bizarre practices. And that attracted me even more. I felt cared for by them. And I really studied their behavior, and I felt that their behavior was exemplary. And so I wanted to have what they had. I wanted to experience that bliss. I wanted to have, this very clean and proper lifestyle. But I couldn't quite understand, because like I said, I couldn't imagine my culture completely changing. I couldn't take myself out of my culture mentally. So if I wanted what they had, I figured, well, let me try an experiment. Let me try to practice what they're practicing, which is chanting Hare Krishna and doing japa. So I would go myself, few days a week, and then I was just going every day of the week to take prasadam, to hear from the devotees, to chant Hare Krishna, and to be preached to by them. But I never really felt like I was being preached to. I just felt like I was being accepted. And that really made me feel loved. And that's really what I really feel like I've been looking for my whole life. It's just to be loved. And not in a way that's like, well, now I'm in this cult. But more of in a way of just friendship. Of just being comrades. And also being able to experience something that's higher than anything that I experienced before. I mean, how do you give up something that's so attractive? Well, you find something that's more attractive. And when you find Krishna, he's the most attractive. So there's no need for anything else. And those other gypsies, they lose all of their power. If I had just tried to focus on, breaking my association with those gypsies on its own right, I would have not been able to do it. I needed a higher taste. And the devotees let me experience that at my own pace in Krishna consciousness by getting their association. And I experienced the Lord's unlimited mercy through the mercy of the devotees who are selfless and caring and loving and kind-hearted and concerned about me. So how do I experience the mercy of Krishna's devotees today? And how does that disempower the gypsies that I'm experiencing today of inattentive chanting? It's really doing the same thing that I did when I first came to Krishna consciousness and not, getting to a position where I become complacent and I feel like I don't need this anymore, I don't need to wake up early anymore. I don't need to come to temple. I don't need to come to kirtan. I don't need to chant my japa in the morning. because there are other things that have become more important. You know, because Krishna consciousness has given me so many things in my life. It's made my life so rich that sometimes it's easy to forget how I got where I am. And it's doing the same things I did when I first came and I was first associating with the devotees, and not to forget that. I think it's very important in our community, in a tight community like this, to not forget how we came to Krishna consciousness and what a jewel we've been given. So much so that we become sort of distracted by our current culture, our current lifestyle, our current, you know, close friends and cliques. So much so that we don't see that new person coming. And then we don't spend the time to really look for these people who are seeking Krishna consciousness, just like we were when we started. In my profession, we have a term for that, and it's called hospitality. And hospitality means to be hospitable. And that's actually where the word hospital comes from. To really wait on someone, hand and foot, to meet all of their needs, all of their physical needs, all of their spiritual needs in the hospital. But when someone comes to the temple, if we meet their spiritual needs, naturally all their needs will be met. And it's important, I see it as very important for me not to just, like I said, Krishna consciousness has given me so many things and made my life so rich, to just get caught up in the day-to-day activities and not see that new person coming and be hospitable to them, just like the devotees were hospitable to me. And so how do we give the Lord's mercy? I mean, that's a really, if you think about it, that's a really large task. To give, the Lord's mercy is unlimited, and I am quite limited in and of myself. How do I give the Lord's unlimited mercy? Because it's coming to other living souls through the devotees. And so japa is really paramount in developing, for me, in developing realization that I can share, that I have something to share with others. And doing japa and the association of devotees has also been quite important, because it's difficult to not be distracted. For me, it's the easiest japa that I've ever done was the first time I went to Chaupati and I chanted japa with all the brahmacharis in Kishri Radha Gopinath in India. And I just felt like I didn't want to stop. And I've lost track of time so much so. And I looked forward to japa more and more by chanting with devotees. I just want to share a recent experience that I thought was interesting, because it occurred just recently, and I was just, you know, a couple of weeks ago preparing for the class and reading these verses, and it just made a connection with me. It was such a strange experience that I was just thinking about, like, how did something like this happen? So my sister's boyfriend and I have very little in common, except for that he's in love with my sister, and they have a very loving relationship, and I appreciate that. I appreciate both of them so much. And this is my younger sister, and he encourages me in different ways, in his own ways. And so, since we don't have a lot in common, it's hard to spend time together. So he was kind of bugging me for some months, you know, when are you getting a bicycle? When are you getting a bicycle? Come on a bike ride with me. I'm like, I don't know, I just broke down one day and I got a bicycle. It's never something I thought I would do, is like ride, you know, a road bike. You know, I would see people riding around, but I would just try not to run them over. You know, I just never saw myself on the side with, you know, all the gear and the helmet and riding a road bike. It's not my thing. So I got this road bike and we started riding bikes together, you know, and our relationship, it became closer. And I'm, you know, starting to get to know him in ways that I haven't known him before, and really appreciate him more and more. And so one day we're on this bike ride, And I started writing on my own from time to time. And whenever I just loved riding through a lacho, and whenever I passed by a field of cows, I would just yell, "Goronga, Goronga," just as loud as I could, you know, just out in the countryside. There's no one there, just you and all the cows. And I'd just be pedaling as hard as I could, just, "Goronga, Goronga." And all the cows would look up. So one day I was riding bikes with Chuck and one of his friends. And we were just pedaling and pedaling, and I was in the back, and I just saw cows, and I just started yelling, "Goronga, Goronga!" And they were just like looking around, like, "What's going on?" So later that afternoon, we were all eating breakfast together, and Chuck just starts talking. He's like, "Yeah, we were riding, and all of a sudden I hear, 'Cowabunga, Cowabunga!'" So he's like, "Why do you call the cows that?" And I said, "Oh, I wasn't saying cowabunga. I was saying goronga." So he says, "Why are you calling the cows how do you say it? Goronga. Goronga." I said, "That's one of Krishna's names, and Krishna is the friend of the cows. So whenever I see the cows, I think of Krishna, and I just chant goronga." So last week, this was months ago. Last week, I'm riding with just Chuck and I. We're riding through Alachua, and he's in the front and I'm in the back. I'm just like pedaling as hard as I can, and all of a sudden I hear, "Goronga, Goronga!" And I'm like, so I started chanting, "Goronga, Goronga!" So after we finished riding, I said. "What happened?" He said, "Oh, I saw the cows, so I just started chanting Goronga." Now, if you know Chuck, he is not a person that I would ever think to preach Krishna consciousness to. Nor would he be a person that has ever asked me. I appreciate everything about him, but it's just never a conversation we have. He never inquires about my Krishna consciousness. But the Lord is so merciful that somehow, through me, he inspired Chuck to chant his name loudly and to really do it with enthusiasm and to love it. And it just totally floored me, because in all my life, I could never see someone that Chuck would be inspired in any way to chant Krishna's names. But Krishna tricked him somehow. And he did it in a very gentle, loving, and kind way. And it's fun, you know, it's fun no matter who you are. Even if you don't really know what you're doing, it's fun to chant Krishna's name. And so somehow Krishna has put me in that position to share his unlimited mercy with someone who would have otherwise not been open to receiving it, even. So I'd like for us to consider for a moment if we've had any experiences where we've seen the Lord's unlimited mercy being distributed through the devotees. It could either be through us, or it could be through us witnessing another devotee sharing Krishna's mercy with them or with another devotee. And it can be in the present or in the past. I was wondering if anyone had any pastimes that they can recall they would like to, personal, that they'd like to share. Yes, we can maybe pass the mic just for a minute.
There are a few pastimes, but one was Hanumanji's. I was always fascinated, I don't know why. Even I was thinking at the beginning of the class, like, there was in all Vedic culture, non-Brahmana can never recite Vedic mantra, period. And if they do, they are punishable, lawbreaker. So there was a sudra, and there is a good reason, it's not just fanaticism. There's a good reason that they pronounce wrong and it draw a wrong result instead of good. And also if they get some power by chanting the mantra and they don't know how to utilize, then they will do harm instead of good. And Brahmana, they were good at aware of Krishna's and well-wishers. So that's why it was, many reasons why it was applicable to them. So there was one Sudra who was, he was reciting a strong secret mantra that he was accumulating a lot of power. And there started drought in that country, that part, where Lord Ram was informed, and Lord Ram found out, and he came and told the Sudra, tomorrow either you stop everything or tomorrow I'll come and kill you. Lord Ram was very strict. He came to establish the religious principle. So, but this Sudra was not just an ordinary guy. He was very attached to that. And he, in his life, that's what he wanted to do. And he didn't know what to do. All of a sudden, Narad Muni just walked by. It's always like that. Then he fell at the feet of Narada. And then he says, please, please protect me, protect me. He said, what is the problem? He says, tomorrow Lord Ram will kill me. He said, look, I cannot do anything about it, but I can tell you what you can do. He said, go and fall at the feet of Hanuman and don't let go until he agrees to save you, to protect you. And then when he agrees, then you tell him what is the protection or from whom. Don't reveal anything before, otherwise he may not. So then he went there and he saw Hanumanji was sitting under a tree and meditating and chanting Ram's name. He fell at the feet and grabbed his feet. And Hanumanji felt very disturbed. He said, hey, let me go. What are you doing? He said, no, please protect me. You promised that you'll protect me, then I'll let you go, otherwise no. And then he really cried. Hanumanji said, yes, no problem, I'll protect you. Now let me go, let my feet go. So he said, tomorrow, Lord Ram will kill me. And you took vow to protect me. That was like direct confrontation between Lord and his devotee. So in the morning, Lord Ram with Lakshman and chariot, they all came to the Sudra's house. And he ready with the bow and arrow to kill. And as he approached the house of this person, he saw Hanumanji standing right there in front of him. So Hanumanji, Lord Ram says, please stand aside. I need to finish my duty. He said, yes, my lord. It will be over my dead body. So what are you talking, Hanumanji? I need to kill him. He's causing disturbance, drought. And he's very, said, Prabhu, I gave him a word that I will protect him. So in order for you to fulfill, you have to kill me first before you touch his heart. Lord Ram changed his heart. Because he loves his devotee so much, he gave up the whole idea of killing him. Then Lord Ram told him, okay, then you train him. And I will not kill him. Generally, Lord Ram will never withdraw from his vow. But even God withdraw him from his vow just to keep his devotee. If we take shelter of the devotee, it's more secure, more safe. Despite my own problem.
Thank you. Anyone else?
A story about how somebody was engaged in devotional service, whether they were planning on doing it or not, ever, who knows, but Krishna gave him some mercy. In 1976, after the Ratha Yatra in New York, Srila Prabhupada was speaking in the park, and it was on a level that was sort of low, and all the devotees obviously were down right in front of Srila Prabhupada. There was a fountain that was sort of up higher, and there was a person who was standing at the edge of the fountain yelling all kinds of obnoxious remarks during Srila Prabhupada's speech. Now all the devotees were on a different level. We weren't near him, and plus we're all wearing dhotis and stuff, so we kind of had to act like devotees. But there was one large-bodied gentleman who was standing up there near the fountain as well. So this person was there saying things and yelling things, and we could all see him. And next thing you know, this person wasn't there anymore. But the large-bodied person standing next to the fountain dropped him into the fountain and escorted him away very nicely. You know, this wasn't a devotee. This was just somebody who felt this was his service. He was supposed to do this. So he took this person out of the equation, and we didn't hear from him again.
Yes. Hare Krishna, thank you. I'm not much of a book distributor, but I get enlivened at these different festivals. And last time at St. Augustine, I had a few Bhagavad Gita's and small books to give out. And I was trying my best. It was rather funny. And it must have been 100 no's, and then one person came. And he had contacted us before, maybe even received, I forget what he said, a book or something, but he wasn't interested. He admitted to being an atheist. And the more we talked, it seemed he was more of an agnostic. But I couldn't interest him in the Bhagavad Gita. Somehow I talked drifted to the Bible and then this chapter of Ecclesiastes. And I remembered I had the new BTG in my own copy in my bag. And I said, oh, and I got this article by Jai Dwaitaswami who talks to, he compares both, and he talks about the subject we're dealing with. He looked at his eyes got big, and he said, wow, I'll read this whole thing. Thank you very much. And it's just kind of like persisting to be an instrument. And then I still had a couple of Bhagavad Gita's left, and I realized I was kind of wasting my time. And so I ended up delivering some prasadam to the homeless shelter there. Figured out, rejected it, and they accepted it gladly, all this prasadam. And I still had these two Bhagavad Gita's, and I just asked someone, and a short story is that they took both and they put it in the library there at the homeless shelter.
I remember a very long time ago, Mother Mukhi had a very, very small restaurant in a indoor mall around Clearwater, I think. And I was traveling, and we stopped by, and she had one employee who was a nun. And Mother Mukhi told us how once she had to go away for 3 days, she told her, you know, look after the whole place. And the nun said, could you write down the prayers on some little cards, because I want to be able to offer the food to the baby. His mother had a kitchen above the stove.
Yeah.
Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna.
I have so many stories, but I'm going to try to say just one. I was in Atlanta distributing books, and I met some Christians. I met them, but I didn't distribute books to them or anything. We just became friends. And they invited me to their Sunday program. So I came to the Sunday program. It was early in the morning. They were sitting on a table, on a round table. Everybody was listening to a lecture from Germany, who was the priest. It was a lady priest giving the lecture that morning. So I sat down and listened, but when I went there, I did take lots of maha sweets for them. So I put them in the middle of the table, and during the lecture, everybody was looking at the sweets. They all were staring at the sweets for a little while. And at the end of the lecture, the leader there said to me, "This looks so nice. They remind me something. They look so familiar." I said, "Well, try them." They didn't know I was a devotee, right? So I'm just there as a guest. And I said, "Well, try them." So he tried them, and he was like, "Oh my God, they remind me of something. They are so..." And I said, "Okay." So I said, "How this Christian movement became vegetarian?" Because this kind of group was a vegetarian Christian group. So I asked them, "How did this come about that you guys are vegetarian?" They had a printing storage there. I mean, it was a big, huge project, you know. Well, he said, there was a long, long time ago when I was still a Christian, but I was hippie. So in New York, I met a gentleman. And I think his name was Prabhupada.
Wow.
He couldn't pronounce it. I am still not disclosing who I am. And I'm listening. And he said, yes. So he was giving some information about the Vedic scriptures, and I was just so impressed. I wanted to remain Christian, but I wanted to become vegetarian, and I continued doing so, you know. Then he left, he said, then it seems that he died, and I continued going to this. And this story has the two sides of the coin, okay? Because we really have to be careful when we represent it about that. So, on his movement. So he continued going to the temple, he said. He said, but then the lectures changed. Then the lectures were not as encouraging or enlightening. And one day I went and they were criticizing Christians. And I raised my hand and I started asking, well, I'm a Christian. I want to keep, you know, I want to keep being a Christian, nice Christian, but I want to keep coming. No, you're not supposed to. Anyway, I don't know who it was. I don't know what they told him. So he left and he never went back to the temple. But Krishna's arrangement, he had started a movement that was a vegetarian Christian movement now. It's huge. It's very big. It's huge. I can give you some pamphlets because I have them with me sometimes when I'm on Sankirtan. I have, you know, buttons that say do not eat meat in Spanish and stuff like that. So he has started this huge movement that is a vegetarian Christian just because Prabhupada had touched his heart. At that moment, I said, I am a follower of Srila Prabhupada, I said, of his movement. And those sweets are his remnants. He actually takes that every morning along with Krishna. And then he realized all his memories came back and he says, oh my God, I eaten those sweets. I remember eating them in New York. Like that. So that was pretty cool.
Yeah, thank you for sharing.
So this is a story of an airport in Honolulu. Unbeknownst to them was actually helpful. We distributed books there every day right across from the vendors, and they get very curious when they see us giving out books and bringing in money. So they started making announcements in the airport. It said, please be aware that there are people in the airport distributing flowers and literature. They said these people are not represented by the airport or the state of Hawaii, mahalo. And they'd make it every 3 minutes. You know, they'd make that announcement. So two interesting things happened, like on the first day. The first thing was I thought, well, let me just try something. So I went up to some people and I said, did you hear the announcements about us? And they were like, kind of like, yeah, I said, well, that's us. And then I just started going through my whole thing. And so we used the announcement in our favor. Every once in a while, someone would go, yeah, I heard it. I don't want it, whatever. But usually it turned out very positive. And there was one young woman who came up. It was Thanksgiving Day. And she was like, are you the people they're talking about? I was like, yeah. She said, well, I just want to know who you were. Who are you? What are you doing? So, you know. I told her what it was, and it was Thanksgiving Day. We were going to have a feast in Kapi'olani Park, so I brought her home with us, and she stayed. You know, she became a devotee. So it's just interesting how even negative types of things devotees can, Krishna can turn it around and make it something positive.
Right. Prabhuji, Madam.
This was in Potomac. I was
I was babysitting a little baby for a couple of years. Well, I was always dressed in a sari and everything, but I never told the mother officially that I was a Hare Krishna. So one day I thought, this was after 2 years or so I was babysitting this little girl, that I thought maybe it's time for the mother to know that her daughter has been babysitted by a Hare Krishna. So I thought, okay, how do I do that? I mean, she had such awe and reverence for me. We had a very nice relationship, but I thought it's time for me to. So I did a vegetarian cooking class also out of the house, and she came to it, and there was an Indian guy there. So I thought, okay, it's Govardhan Puja time, so I thought I'll put a flyer, give it to the Indian guy, and I made sure that she would see this flyer that said, Hare Krishna Temple invites you for Govardhan Puja festival. So I put it right there between her and the other guy. And I just kind of doing my cooking class, and then she says, is this Hare Krishna people who out in the airports? I said, yeah. And then I just kind of like, you know, was doing my thing. These are the same people, the Hare Krishnas at the airport? I said, yeah. And then I'm like, okay. So I could see she was like totally shocked. She realized, oh, all this time Madhumati is talking about when she talks about going to the temple and this and that. And I even told her, oh, we have a lot of Jewish people. She was Jewish. So I would tell her that, oh, we have a lot of Jewish people too. It all like clicked. Okay, so Hare Krishna. So I was thinking, okay, that's it. I'll be fired, you know. But that wasn't the case. The very next day she told me, it was so shocking. She said, you know, if something happens to my child, I mean, something happens to us, to me and Steve, I want you to take care of my daughter, Heather. And then not only that, she was started telling everybody that how her babysitter was a Hare Krishna. And they are such nice people. So the amount of preaching that she did was just amazing. So how her views changed.
Thank you so much. Haribol.
Thank you, Prabhuji, for your class. When you were talking, giving your account of your relationship with Chuck, I was thinking this tape that I heard about a couple of weeks ago, Bhakti Tiltaswami on empathetic listening. And he was saying that when we listen attentively, it helps with our preaching rather than just preaching at people. And it seems like Chuck was preaching to you because he got you to ride the bike and you started associating with him. And so you got him to say Garanga, but he was actually preaching to you. He reached out to you.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, it works both ways.
Yeah.
So I just want to bring it back for back to the verse and the week prior where Krishnadas was taken away from the Lord's association by the gypsies. Gayato vishayam pumsa sangas teshu pajayate sangat sanjayate kama kama kroda vijayate Todad bhavati samodha somahat smriti vidama smriti bhamsha guhina so udinasa pranasyati. While contemplating the objects of the senses, a person develops attachment for them, and from such attachment lust develops, and from lust anger arises. From anger, complete delusion arises, and from delusion, bewilderment of memory. When memory is bewildered, intelligence is lost, and when intelligence is lost, one falls down again into the material pool. So while contemplating the objects of the senses, Usually a person will fall down. The fall down will usually be the actual act of sense gratification will really be sort of the culmination or the end of the fall down, if you will. Whereas the fall down really begins internally by contemplation through the mind and through lack of cultivating our internal Krishna consciousness. And that actual behavior of sense gratification is the culmination of that internal, that lack of internal purity. So that was Bhagavad Gita 262-263. This is chapter 18, verse 68-69. Ya idang paramangu yang mad bhakteshva vidasati bhaktin mai parangritva mam evaisyatya samsaya nacha tasman manusheshu kashchin me priyakritamaha padita nacha me tasmad anyapriyataro-bhavi. For one who explains this supreme secret to the devotees, pure devotional service is guaranteed, and at the end he will come back to me. There is no servant in this world more dear to me than he, nor will there ever be one more dear. So the answer to that internal fall down is to share Krishna consciousness with others and to cultivate that Krishna consciousness within ourselves through japa, through chanting Hare Krishna. And by doing that, we actually become immune to sense gratification. It's actually like a vaccination. When you get vaccinated, well, some will have you believe that it makes, gives you some immunity. And so chanting Hare Krishna, it gives you immunity. It guarantees that you will